You can work hard, you can have opinions, you can be controversial, you can do all of those things, but you can still be nice to people.
Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11% podcast. We explore roles and opportunities within the creative industries with the aim of improving diversity, in addition to promoting, providing a platform, and shouting about awesome women and those identifying as non-binary. Hello. You may have been expecting Crystal's dulcet tones, but this month we are foregoing a panel discussion as Crystal is on holiday and taking care of a new baby, Puppy. Today, for episode 86, I'm joined by Chief Operations Officer and co-founder of market research agency Imagine, Kat Augustino. Not only is she the Chief Operations Officer of Imagine, she's also the founder and director of her own media and marketing consultancy business, Augustino Consultancy. And she's also the co-founder of Dawn Network, an organization after my own heart, dedicated to inspiring and developing women. But more on that later. Where to start? Kat studied English literature, media and dance at Richmond College, and on leaving school, bagged a role with Adland giant Manning Gottlieb OMD as an online campaign assistant, and then was swiftly promoted to an online planner and buyer. She did a brief stint in Sydney for One Digital and Beyond Interactive as an interactive planner and buyer before returning to the UK to work for Starcom for about 6 years and ultimately ended up in the position of Digital Associate Director. And this role provided her with more strategic and leadership opportunity, which she took and scaled up into her following roles. Head of Digital Experience at OMD, where she was responsible for new business, client relationships, planning, finances, and managing a team of 27 people. And then, Director of Client Services at a well-known publisher, where Kat was the first hire for a new division and then rebuilt the entire client services team and developed and implemented strategies to improve the offering and ways of working. She did all of this over the course of 15 years. Epic. She then took all this knowledge and experience and channeled her focus into starting her own business, Augustino Consultancy. And then a few years later, co-founded Imagine with, and I think the best way to describe him is energetic and dynamic, Jay Richards. Imagine focuses on collaborating with Gen Z to provide brutally honest insights on branding, marketing, and product. And they have worked with the likes of Stella McCartney and the NFL. Now that is a whirlwind tour of a tour de force. Kat, welcome to Greater Than 11%.
Wow, thank you. That's such an amazing intro. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And it's all yours. It's everything you've done. And like I said, it's quite epic, everything you managed to cram into that 15 years and then beyond. So I'm wondering if we can start off with your current title, which is obviously co-founder with Imagine and founder of your own agency. But in terms of Chief Operations Officer, can you describe what the responsibilities are and what is it you do within Imagine?
I mean, as a startup, you sort of have to be prepared to do everything and anything, and that things will change on a daily basis. And the real thing to remember is that, you know, there's no egos about titles. And so even though we have them, and of course, you know, it is important to kind of have that for some people, but you just have to get your hands involved in everything and you have to get stuck in. You know, there are areas that for Jay and I, we do separate, and then for our team as well. So for Jay, as you mentioned him briefly in the intro, he is exactly that. And his skills very much lie in new business and sales. He's an excellent, excellent salesman. And then what happens is once we have a client on board, I tend to take over that relationship with the team and make sure that we are servicing that client as best as we can. And then in addition to that, it's the daily running of the business. So are we being as efficient as we can be? I mentioned servicing clients in the best way, managing the team, making sure we have the right partners, etc., making sure we're on top of all our finances. So there's a lot to do, but I like it that way. I am super, super organized, and Jay will laugh about it because he thinks that I just structure literally everything in life and work. So
but I guess if you're chief operations, you kind of have to be super organized, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's I think that's in my bones anyway. I'm quite happy living my life.
You briefly talked about Imagine, and I just wonder, if you could give us a little bit more detail about what you do. I know I've touched upon it, but also how you and Jay met and you came to work together and create the business together.
Our overall mission is to enable Gen Z to shape their future. And we do that by providing opportunities for 16 to 25 year olds to work with brands, to work with agencies. And they do that by providing their, what we say, brutally honest feedback about a brand's either their product or their marketing activity or their branding. And we do that by crowdsourcing ideas and feedback amongst our community, these 16 to 25 year olds across the country. And we've got thousands and thousands of those consultants. You know, we're lucky to be working, and you mentioned a couple of our clients there, to be working with some amazing brands and agencies already, even though we are still, you know, a fairly new company. But really the main thing is that we want to be able to provide these opportunities so that young people have the opportunities that maybe they wouldn't have necessarily, or they might not have access to. And that's why we're really committed to making sure that our community is made up of people that are from all different backgrounds. For that, I don't mean in terms of race or gender, just those areas. It's more than that. It's whether, you know, they are registered as disabled, is whether they are classed as disadvantaged, or, you know, whether they were maybe first to uni, or if they were on free school meals. There's kind of a lot of criteria in terms of how we like to build our community. And then in terms of how Jay and I met, we actually met on LinkedIn. We both spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, and we came across each other there and started to have lots of conversations, and we ended up walking around London. We used to go on these massive walks and just suddenly go, oh, we're here. We've kind of ended up like an hour later in a completely different place, just talking about our shared vision and passion for helping young people and the way that we wanted to work. And we just realized we had so much in common, but also we were coming from things from a very different angle in terms of our skill set. So that's really helped us to grow the business and realize who's good at what, and help us to hire in talent that, you know, we might not have skills in those areas, or we want to learn more from people that do have the skills that we don't possess. And it kind of went from there. And, you know, we've been through a rebrand, we've pivoted the business, we've hired, we've got new clients on board. Of course, it's really challenging. But yeah, that's kind of where, that's taking us up to sort of where we are now, really.
That's amazing. I love that you met on a social platform and then doing mega walks. I mean, I love walking and talking. It's such a great way to, I guess, navigate space and think about ideas whilst kind of physically moving. Like, there's something in that. So yeah, that's awesome. So the company set up last year, wasn't it? Is it just over a year old?
It's a little bit older than that, but it was under a different name. And then we went through the rebrand. So as Imagine, it's been kind of from the start of the year. But Jay and I, yeah, started what we met in November last year. So yeah, it's not even a year since we met.
That's amazing. And you've had, like you said, like I mentioned, Stella McCartney and the NFL, and you've also been working with other agencies, bigger agencies. So yeah, it's awesome. If a potential Gen Z listener likes the sound of working with Imagine, or a brand would like to know more, where can they find the info and how do they get involved?
Yeah, so for anyone that's between 16 and 25, they can simply head to our website, which is www.imagineinsights.com/consultant. And there they can just fill out their details. It's completely free to join. As many people can within that age range can join. And as I touched on before, there's no, you know, criteria to join. It's just that you're within that age range and you're interested in participating in our challenges. Or you can email us at hello@imagineinsights.com or look us up on LinkedIn. And for brands, it's the same. So either via our website or connect with Jay and I on LinkedIn. As I said, we spend a lot of time on that platform, so it's a really good way to engage with her.
And I'll put all those details in the show notes anyway, so people can just dive in and do one click and they're through. So Kat, your career path is varied and is a combination of entrepreneurial and entrepreneurial. So setting up new elements within organizations, but then also founding your own consultancy agency, co-founding Dawn Network, and now Imagine. So rewinding a smidge, could you discuss your career trajectory from what you did at school up until now?
I mean, yeah, you're right. It is quite varied, and there's definitely been kind of lots of, even though I've stayed within the same industry, it's, there's been lots of different angles to what I've, or what I've done in that time. So, I mean, starting back, I was actually pretty good at kind of earlier education and secondary school. And, you know, it was very much expected that I would go to university, but actually I didn't. I decided that I wanted to go traveling. And then, you know, much to the shock of my family, I decided to just start work at 21. You know, I think they've overcome that now, but I think I had quite a lot of people back in those days when I started out looking down at my CV or at my education because I hadn't been to university, and it was definitely a barrier to getting into jobs. And it's funny because I still, less so now, but I, up until quite recently, I'd still avoid those conversations where it would come up about university because I'd feel like I didn't, you know, I should have gone. It's madness, really, especially when I hear you read out that intro and you think, oh, actually, I have achieved quite a lot. But it's funny how something like that just sticks with you. And then, yeah, I just, yeah, at 21, I knew that I wanted to work in media, and digital media specifically really fascinated me. So I got a job at a media agency, and it sort of went from there, and got the opportunity to work on so many different brands with so many different people, got to manage people, mentor people, work in London and Australia. But then, you know, there's definitely an inkling in me to want to start my own business, and that had been there for a while. And after deciding to leave agency, I joined a publisher, and then I got the kick that I sort of needed because that role didn't work out for me to start my own consultancy. And so now that's been running for 4.5 years. And then, as we talked about with Imagine, that's, you know, that's kind of the newest venture, if you like. And then Dawn, which I'm sure we'll kind of come on to a bit more. But yeah, Dawn Network was founded 10 years ago by myself and three co-founders. That's the other baby, if you like.
Because you don't have enough on your plate, Kat. I think it's so interesting what you said about going to uni, because I'm quite fascinated by that, because I think especially within media and comms, yeah, it's great to go to uni, but I don't think it's essential. Like, I think you can learn on the job many of the roles. Kind of stigma that's attached to not going. Like, I think a lot of people have felt that. I didn't go to university till I was a grown up. I've said that often. You know, I didn't go into my till I was in my late 20s, and I was the first in my family to go. And there's weird, yeah, I think those weird barriers, and they, you know, they become issues for ourselves, you know, not necessarily the way others are viewing us. Like you're saying, you kind of would avoid the conversation. But, you know, look at all you have done. And I think you just said you co-founded Dawn, you've co-founded Imagine, and you've also set up your own consultancy. So definitely don't think not going to uni is even in any way. So you've mentioned Dawn Network, but I'm wondering if you could talk more about how it came into be, who it's for, and who's involved.
Dawn is incredible, and you know, we're really lucky that we've managed to have an amazing 10-year. We actually celebrated our 10th birthday last November at a physical event, how strange, at Twitter's offices in London. And it started because myself and co-founders were sat in a coffee shop in the heart of London, much more junior in our careers then, and we just realised that there weren't many or any networks for females in the industry that were free or inclusive of all levels. You know, there was Wackle, which is of course huge, but it's not easy to get into, and it does incur a cost. And from there we created Dawn, and you know, we obviously knew what we wanted to achieve, but we didn't really know how successful that would be. But we ran our first event, and then from there started to run events every quarter, and they were free. That's one thing that we've maintained. Everybody, you know, whether you were starting out in your career or you were more senior, just to feel that you could have access to a panel of speakers who would be inspirational and educational and informative, and you know, just give something you could take away and maybe help you in your personal or professional life. We know we have such success with the events. From we've got regulars that will attend, we've got new people that attend. We opened it up so that yes, it has been for women, but you know, if men want to attend, then of course we're not going to say no to that. And it's actually really important that men are involved in the conversation to, you know, support women and to help elevate women to the places that they should be, so that there is that equality within the industry. We've managed to have between 50 to 100 attendees at each event, and given the circumstances now, we're actually running our first virtual event, and we're specifically talking about boosting the year to come and trying to put a positive spin on what's happened and how to, you know, think about what's next. And we've got an amazing panel, so yeah, it's been an amazing 10 years, and I'm just really lucky that we've got a community of you know, people that we can all rely on internally for Dawn, but also then we can help other people as well. There's 9 of us on the committee in total. You know, everybody has a role in that and is hugely passionate about what we do.
Oh, I love that. And I just think it's so important that, you know, that it is free, that there's not a barrier to entry to be able to join and get support. And there's many, like you said, organizations out there that are awesome and doing awesome jobs, but, you know, like, they can be expensive. And if you're at the beginning of your career journey, or you're changing your career, or you've had a period of unemployment, which, you know, at this point in time, like a lot of our colleagues and peers may be facing, it's so great that there's a support network that you can just tap into. And I just think it's so awesome. So again, I'll put all the details in the show notes if people want to see how they can get involved, attend events, say hello, all that kind of stuff. You've worked for a lot of big agencies and with responsibility for large teams. And I think I mentioned one of your roles, you know, you were managing a team of 27, which is no small feat. I'd love to know more about, you know, why the move to set up your own consultancy and work for a smaller, and when I say smaller, in size, but not ambition, organization.
I loved that time there, and I loved, you know, managing people, and really, I really did have such an amazing career within that space. But I think I wanted to reignite my passion at work, and, you know, not to say that I wasn't passionate about what I was doing, but I was sort of, you know, that I wasn't as in love with what I was doing as I could have been, and I just wanted to feel really passionate about growing something, and felt that I had the skills and could achieve a lot by trying something new and pushing myself, you know, when I've been in that space to challenge myself in new ways. So that was really the premise behind it. And, you know, I didn't know how that was going to turn out. I could not have picked up, you know, the clients that I wanted to, but luckily I did. And a lot of that came from having a big network myself. And I've always invested a lot of time into my work and personal network. You know, I will, whether it's attending networking things, whether it's making time for other people, whether it's making sure I'm reading regular communication, you know, whatever it is, I'm kind of quite invested in my network. And so that has definitely helped me to achieve what I've wanted to achieve, and got to work with all aspects, work for my consultancy with all aspects of the media marketing tech startup industries, and with fantastic companies and people. So it just gave me that breadth that I perhaps wasn't getting at that later stage of my previous jobs. And that was really, the thinking behind it. And I'm really pleased I took the leap.
And how was that, taking that leap? I mean, it's quite, I guess, reassuring, and I say kind of in air quotes, to have, you know, a job. When I say 9 to 5, no one in Adlam works 9 to 5, but, you know, 9 to 5 job with secure income to go, okay, I'm going to set out on my own. How did that feel? How did you navigate that?
You know, it was really scary to leave having a really, you know, regular salary with health benefits and learning and development and training and access to all these amazing things. And then suddenly you go, oh, I have no income. I don't know what's going to happen. I've got to manage my tax. I have no idea how to run a business. It's quite scary. So I managed to find a really good accountant, and that's been my accountant since day one. And actually, he's Imagine's accountant now as well. And that helped me from the finance side of things. And then I was just very much going back to that point about my networks. I was very much leaning into those to say, you know, what clients do you think I should start with? Can you make recommendations? How can, and actually then that's how work started to flow. And then very lucky that the majority of my work in the last 4.5 years has come via recommendation. So again, it's that real putting into your network to realize that that can help you in so many ways. But yeah, I mean, it was daunting, and it still is daunting. You know, I'm running another startup with Jay, and we also don't know what's going to happen, but I think there's also an excitement with that. And I think if you love something enough and you're determined enough, then you will find ways to make it work.
Yeah, and I definitely feel you're someone that does make things work. Yeah, you're TV, you're just really driven, and obviously you've mentioned you're organized, so that obviously helps.
Yeah.
So another little thing that I saw when I was researching is that you've also qualified as a fitness instructor. And I was like, when I saw this, I was like, how the hell did this woman fit this in? So how did that come about?
Good work on the research. I love this. Yeah, I mean, fitness is always been in my bones, from being, you know, an early gymnast to taking part in sports to snowboarding, loving the gym. It's everything. Like, it's a huge part of my life. But I wanted to know how to more about how to do things properly, and I was really interested in benefits of nutrition and how that aids fitness, and then, you know, the makeup of the body and how things should be working correctly. So I decided to study again. That was pretty hard because I was also pregnant at the time, and, you know, trying to do PT videos when you have got a bump is a little bit challenging, but I got through that level and I'm actually doing the next level now, albeit very slowly. I'd love to use it in work somehow, maybe as a side hustle one day.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's incredible. And also doing it whilst pregnant.
Yeah. Just an extra challenge, you know.
Yeah, well, why not? So going back to your role as Chief Operations Officer, it's obviously different varying from organisation to organisation, but typically it's a mix of strategy, organisation, creativity. What skills would you say are needed for the role?
Yeah, you're right. It's all of those things. And I think it, additionally, though, it's, you know, you have to have a real eye for detail because you are spinning so many plates and you have to have a handle on how everything in the business is working. Then you really need to be able to spot things quickly. And I think an understanding of processes and ways of working and structure are crucial as well, because then that enables you to look at how to be more efficient as a business. I think, you know, team skills in terms of management and talking to people and being able to motivate are also part of the role, and they're skills that, you know, you can develop over time. I don't, you know, yes, you can have some of these skills that can be slightly quicker to learn, but some do come from working for slightly longer, you know, leading by examples, but also coming up with ideas, also, you know, execution, also making sure, you know, from a client servicing perspective, there's a lot of, you know, account management, account handling skills that from agency days have definitely helped me to be able to do that. And, you know, making sure staff are treated properly and things are fair are also skills that you know you need to develop and learn to be able to run a business successfully.
Like you said, plate spinning is a big thing about operations, and you kind of have got a finger in everything because it's like overseeing, isn't it?
Exactly.
What advice would you give to someone focused on a C-suite position, specifically in operations within advertising?
You really have to, and this is something I've learned over time, is to be yourself. So you have to, you know, don't be afraid to admit when things haven't gone to plan, and especially, you know, whether that's being in your own business or within, you know, a wider organisation or more of a corporate place. But you have to learn from mistakes, and I'm not saying and go out and make loads of mistakes, but there will be things that don't work as well as perhaps they should have or as well as you thought they might, and being open to learning that and looking back on things and saying, okay, well, that didn't work, but what can we do next time? And, you know, it's super important to take feedback from people around you. We work with Gen Z specifically, and having that talent within your organization is going to help prepare for the future. Learning from younger generations, you know, I'm a millennial, and learning from Gen Z has definitely opened my eyes to so many things, because it's things that perhaps I'm not thinking of. And so I think if you are in a C-suite position, then you need to be looking at younger, older, you know, just different diverse talent around you to be able to help you to shape your business. You know, I think managing people is so hard. I remember managing people and really not getting it right when I first started, but I've learned so much now, and, you know, now manage and mentor a lot of people, and hopefully that's, you know, successfully. But that was a big learning for me. And I think just being that, coming back to that point of just being really open and being able to ask questions and admit that perhaps, you know, I know that Jay is really good at sales, for example. That's not my skill set, and it's also not something I particularly enjoy. That's okay. And he will openly say that he doesn't really like the operations side of things. So while you have to have spinning plates and have your eye on everything, you don't have to be good at every single thing within that. You have to have good people around you.
Oh, I really love that. And I also love that notion of, like, not, you don't have to be good at everything. Like, I think especially when people leave school or they leave university or whatever, there's this pressure that they must, like, ace everything. Mm. And, you know, it's just not natural. You know, we're definitely going to be better at some things than others, and other things we're going to have to work at. Yeah, I really love that. But I also love be yourself. I think that's been a bit of a journey for me as well. It's really hard sometimes to not, you know, have a facade or a brick wall. And actually, the more open you are, the more other people are open too. So, yeah. So what advice would you give someone considering founding or co-founding an organization within media and comms?
You know, do your research is big. So whether that's talking to your network, and I know I mentioned network over again, but it is really, it was something, it's just something that is so important. And I've really, really learned and grown and developed through talking to my network and mentors, if you know, if people are lucky to have them. You know, getting that advice, being open to changing, developing the business, what you might start out with, you know, as your initial idea might change so many times along that journey, but that's, you have to be prepared for that. Keeping an eye on your competition. You know, it's something that I used to do a lot and now do with Imagine, because there's always going to be people that are going to do something similar to you. So how can you try differentiate yourself against that competition, amongst that competition? You know, again, always trying to help others and, you know, giving. I'm a firm believer that if you help others, then your own success will come off the back of that. And, you know, I've always said it, be nice to people. There's a lot of people that aren't that nice, and you know, I've come across a lot of those people, and I just don't know how it will benefit you yourself or others. You can work hard, you can have opinions, you can be controversial, you can do all of those things, but you can still be nice to people.
I want to be in your network. This person's amazing, so lovely. Not only is successful, I just love that message, because it is so important. You know, it doesn't hurt, doesn't take a lot of effort to just be, you're nice, you know, you've got your boundaries and whatever, but yeah. And I think networks are really important. I will echo that. Definitely connecting and being able to have conversations and share information, but also learn from each other. So yeah, cool. What's been the biggest challenge you've faced in your career?
I mean, I think aside from, you know, the conversation that we were talking about earlier with going to uni and battling, you know, not feeling good enough, there was a role that I had actually after leaving the agency world where the culture just was awful and it almost broke me actually. And, you know, now I can talk about it at the time, and actually for quite a while I couldn't, because it was still really raw. But, you know, it was, I'm not going to go into great detail about it, but there was basically a group of people that decided that they wanted to make things very difficult for me and a few others, and it resulted in a lot of upset. I definitely didn't do good work while I was in that role, because I was, you know, completely overwhelmed with how people were treating me, despite being really qualified for it, and it lost me a lot of confidence. You know, I really struggled through that time, and that's when it's so nice, like, you've read out those achievements, and I do look back and I do, you know, realize that success has come from me being good at my job and working hard and you know, having all these amazing connections around me. But that side of it, that realizing the good stuff was taken away because of that role. So that is definitely my biggest challenge today, and I hope that I never have to overcome something like that again. However, I can now talk about it and hopefully help others if they are in a similar situation. And that's, yeah, I've spoken about it actually at a Dawn event, which was the first time I opened up about it, and had quite a few people come up to me afterwards saying, oh, I've been through something similar at work, or I am going through something similar. How do I navigate that? What can I do? So yeah, hopefully now I can just turn that into more of a positive in terms of hoping that other people don't experience what I did.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Toxic environments are just so damaging, not just in the instance, but they have a legacy within the way we deal with it ourselves. I'm just curious, not in terms of information, but in terms of what you did to kind of heal yourself after that and build your confidence back up, because I think that's so important, because, you know, part of a toxic environment is making people feel isolated and shit about themselves. It's the aftermath of that, about how you put yourself back together. I'm just wondering, kind of any steps or advice that you could give?
Yeah, I mean, Dawn was massively helpful for me through that time, but also, you know, my personal friends. I'm very lucky. I'm still, you know, my group of school friends, you know, we're all from the same place in Southeast London, and we all still live around the corner from each other. And they were my biggest supporters, and I really leaned on them through that time. But also, that was just as I was, so I came out of that and I set up the consultancy. I sort of threw everything into doing something new, and actually I probably didn't allow myself to heal from that in that period, because I was so focused on, you've got to do something new to get over it. But then after that, I decided to, you know, start talking about it, and realized that method of talking and opening up actually was a real help.
Yeah, definitely talking and finding, you know, friends and peers that can help you, because like I said, like, toxic environments are so isolating. And the damage is done before you even realise it a lot of the time. I'm glad that you bounce back and that you're now like flying again. So that's awesome. Let's like swing this the other way. What do you love about what you do?
Really helping others, and the fact that we get to do that day in, day out with our Gen Z consultants. Every time that we set a challenge and we get the responses, we get to go through the most incredibly insightful, inspirational, passionate feedback from these young people. And you know, we're giving them a platform to voice their opinions, and that is just amazing. You know, it's people that, you know, they might not have had that opportunity necessarily, and so to be able to give them that opportunity, that platform, and for that to then help to shape a brand or an agency's marketing, product, branding, whatever it might be, just is incredibly rewarding. And I love my team. You know, I get to work, you know, daily with my friend and her business partner, Jay, and also the rest of our team. And we're shaping something new, and it's really exciting. You know, we're on this amazing adventure and we don't really know where it's going to go, but we love it. And, you know, as you know, with Jay, he's the most excitable person. So to be able to have someone that has that energy around you is just makes each day, you know, a pleasure to have, really.
I was introduced to you via Jay, and when I was first discussing with Jay like what Imagine do, he made me so excited. I'm quite excitable person anyway. I'm like excited about when other people are doing awesome things and whatever. But yeah, we were just talking through all the opportunities that Imagine provides for young people, and I was totally inspired. So yeah, I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
Wondering if you could tell me how you fuel your creativity, what you do, where you go in between running multiple businesses, personal training, raising a young child.
So we tend to work a lot from Soho Shoreditch House location, so we can kind of differ up the venues, which gives us a bit of, you know, a bit of a creative space in terms of location. And then, you know, yes, it is a bit harder at home, especially with the toddler. I walk a lot, and I find that, you know, that helps me to just reset. Walking around London and, you know, looking up, just not looking down at a device, tends to help us, and just allowing each other the time to be able to think. So, you know, we work obviously all hours because it's a new business, and so we're trying to do a lot of stuff within very limited time. But we also try and, you know, give ourselves a bit of headspace. And he's massively into fitness, I'm massively into fitness, and so it's about allowing each other to do those things to be able to refuel our and reset our brains so that we can then have creativity and better ideas.
So look, we might be, might not be, we're not really sure what the rules are at the moment, but we might be going into a second lockdown. But either way, I'm wondering what's coming up for you and Imagine and your own consultancy and Dawn for the rest of 2020?
We're, you know, getting more brands and agencies on board. It's a big focus because then that enables more opportunities for our consultants. Opening up to other areas of the world, you know, that's every time we have a meeting, we're asked where we're going to expand into other markets. So that's definitely on our roadmap. And also building our web app so that we've actually got, you know, tech that will help us to be less manual, more automated as a business. And then, you know, for the consultancy, it's collaboration. So I'm working with a couple of other companies on how we can collaborate on certain projects on behalf of clients. So that's slightly different turn for that business. And then for Dawn, it's about, you know, running this first virtual event. And I imagine just, you know, continuing with virtual events until we're able to get back into physical events. So yeah, lots of stuff coming up. And then yeah, hopefully incorporating a bit of fitness in there too, if there's time.
Yeah, well, definitely a busy end to the year, but everything we've discussed, I can imagine that's just normal business as usual for you.
Yeah, it is.
Well, look, we're coming to the end of the interview. I have so loved talking to you. So I need to say this. Jay kept saying to me, you're going to love Kat. She's amazing. You're going to love her. I can't wait for you to talk. She's amazing. And yeah, he was dead on. You are just so lovely and just so impressed with all that you're doing and all that you're juggling. And yeah, with your ethos and your whole outlook on supporting others is just, yeah, been totally inspiring to talk to you. So thank you.
Thank you.
And something I'm going to ask everyone before they go is two things. First of all, is there a career or job in the creative industries that you know little about? And that way I can potentially find someone in that role, get on, talk about it and break that down. And secondly, a woman or a person that identifies as non-binary that you would recommend to come on to the podcast.
I think within the industry, like designers have always, and art directors and creatives have always really interested me, because I've always been on that other side. So I mean, you know, it's I've been on the media buying or the planning side. And so the creativity, and I'm always fascinated by minds and their talents and their ability to create incredible work. And so obviously I've worked with you know, these people time and time again, but I've never really got into the nitty-gritty, and I don't have that, my mind doesn't work in the same way. And so when I talk to people, you know, creatives, I just find it so fascinating. So that to me is yeah, an area I'd love to understand a bit more about. And then in terms of, oh wow, there's so many women, I'm lucky to be a part of a few female groups in the industry, but there's two women that really stand out to me at the moment. The first is Elaine Dela Cruz, and she's leading in so many aspects. She runs a business with her co-founder called Project 24. She's achieved so much. She's kind of come out of a media owner role and then started this business, and she's just doing incredible work. I think she'd be an amazing person to speak to. And sorry, I know you said one, but there's two. And then there's Sally Keane at LinkedIn. So she's doing a fab job with Bloom Network. They're another female network, and they focus a lot on mentoring, and we support each other as much as we can. She's a great speaker. She's spoken at one of our Dawn events, and she's also really funny, but yeah, an amazing leader. They're my two recommendations.
Oh, that's awesome. And don't worry, most people always try to recommend more than one. They're great recommendations. And I'm actually part of Bloom. So yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Of course. Yeah, of course, so you are. Of course you are. I know that.
Yeah, I do some mentoring through that. So yeah, I really love that. Look, Kat, it's been so great to talk to you. You can tell Jay he was absolutely right. I do love it. Thank you for sharing all your experiences and knowledge. And yeah, it's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such, honestly, love this, and I love the questions. It's felt like a really good chat, and it's really nice actually to open up about, you know, some of the challenges as well as the achievements. So yeah, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, please write a review and rate, as that helps other people find Greater Than 11%. Also, stay subscribed to keep up to date on the weekly releases.